Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I love the way that Ray brought that out. You know, I never would have put those scriptures like that together. But I did learn this. If the Lord say something, it's not just important. It's real important.
Amen. Real important.
Most of my ministry was about following God, going back to just doing what the Lord said.
Can I say something because of what you said? He said it's real important if God says something. Something simple as think on good things.
Yeah.
And that's so simple. Mm. I mean, you know, you're like,
yeah.
But he knows the benefits of us thinking on good things.
Amen.
We're probably looking for the big supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the hardest times when I miss something.
Right, right.
If I did something other than what the Lord said, that's when I have the hardest time. I was telling my son yesterday, Thurston, I told him, I said, think of the Holy Spirit. He's moving. He's going forward. Mm-hmm. When you yield to him, you link up with him. And you're going forward. And he causes you to be effective.
Yes.
Every part of ministry, it's not by our strength, not by our might, not by our power, not by the way we think. But when we yield to him,
right,
then he'll work through us.
Yes.
And cause us to do, though we're imperfect, he'll cause us to do a perfect work.
Yes.
Though we know in part, he'll cause us to do what's necessary at the time. He'll help us to say what will be received. He'll send us to where people will hear the most. But I told Thurston, I said, a lot of pastors and ministers, they trying to get God to come and do what they want to do. And that's not going to work. If it did work, it would be by might and power. And it's not. They won't be able to, the Holy Spirit can't use it as much.
You know, I heard one pastor say, if you would get the plan of God instead of trying to give him your plan, it's already blessed.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And see, that takes all the pressure off.
It does. It's all up to God.
Say that again.
Just follow it.
If you get the plan of God instead of trying to do your plan,
it's already blessed.
It's already blessed.
Yeah.
What if God did everybody's plan?
It'd be all
God did what everybody wanted him to do.
It'd be chaos and confusion.
Just when there's somebody you love, you know, you get mad at him, look what the repercussions could be.
If he answered every prayer people pray, it'd be chaos and confusion. Because a lot of them are unscriptural.
Jesus, help us, Lord.
And a lot of those things might kill them.
Yeah, they won't even be here for long. But
even James and John, when they were walking with Jesus, and they told Jesus, call fire down from heaven, just bring the whole city up. Jesus said, boy, y'all don't know what spirit you're not of my spirit.
Whoa.
You know, every
spirit there.
Every generation has proved to be contrary. It took Kenneth Hagin a long time to get people on board with faith. And they still working with people. They got enough mail to fill this room against it. So when people are set in their ways, it's just that's like Jerusalem. Isaiah blinded them. So don't expect too much from Israel. Only according to Isaiah, only 10% of the Jews will be saved. He said a tenth will come, you know, and be eaten or be received in chapter 6. So people are hard-headed, but when you link up with the Holy Spirit, he can use you beyond your natural capabilities.
Amen.
And when that your people can do that, he can take what you... It's like Brother Money said. Me and Alicia listened to that teaching he did back in April 12, 15, you know, the one I put classic on there. We listened to it last weekend, and He said, you got to bring everything with you in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Let Jesus lay his hands on it. He's going to bless it and give it back to you.
Ooh.
If you can yield your marriage, you bring your marriage in the kingdom. Mm. When you train your children the way they should go, you bring them in the kingdom. When you pay tithes, you bring your possessions in the kingdom. I mean, the whole thing. If we... if we want to live kingdom power, we bring what we have, our understanding, our talents, and just, Lord, how can I serve you with this? He'll lay his hands on it and bless it and multiply it back to you. That message was, it was so outstanding, I didn't want him to quit when he did. And the only reason I didn't tell him to keep going, because the Lord gave me something that day. But he got it all in 25 minutes. I don't know how, that was one of the most powerful messages I ever heard him preach. But it really opened a lot of doors for me, as I, you know, from listening to it. And I put classic on there because I want people to, that's a necessary message. He taught on the rich young ruler, and he brought such clarity to it that it's needful. Anytime people can yield to the Holy Spirit, God can just take your life and do something great with it. But people don't know what they're resisting when they don't yield to Him. They don't know the prosperity that's going to happen, the blessings, the people that's going to be saved just from yielding to the Lord. And He'll take you a little bit, and because everything of God is like a seed. He'll take you a little bit and multiply. Mm-hmm. And He can do that with anybody that will yield to Him. Last week, we made it to chapter 18. It said, after these things, Paul departed from Athena. Acts chapter 18, 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So Aquila was Jewish, Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, and all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now this statement by Jesus, when the Lord does something like this, that's when you dig in deep. Amen. When he will alert you to what, you know, to specific things, and that's where you do your greatest warfare, and that's what's going to work. When he says something like this, you're in position, and a mighty work's going to always follow that. In verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Galileo was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made instructions with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason, would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of the words of and names of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. So they had victory in the court. In verse 17, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler, I hope I'm pronouncing these names right, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of those things. But Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And it came to and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, and I will return again to you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. It looks like he's going to Jerusalem because of some vow he made.
To what?
He made a vow. He made a vow to somebody that he would be there. And he kept it no matter what. I made a vow to the Lord, and I have to keep it. I meant it, and I wanted to keep it. It was sometimes a challenge to keep it, but I remember that vow and I kept it.
Amen.
But one thing I learned about vows, don't make them loosely.
Amen.
But,
and promises to other people.
Yeah. I try not to do that. If, you know, I want to help people so much, I'll promise stuff. The Lord got on to me about that, you know, telling people I'd do this so quick. Because he expects you to do it.
Amen.
And vowing to him, he expects you to keep it. But I'm glad, and back in 88, that I said, Lord, I will follow you. I will do whatever you say. Because he told me something in business, and it worked. And I said, how come you didn't tell me this before? I needed to know this a long time ago. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father.
That's good.
And I said, he said, when a man leans to his own way, he can't learn the ways of the Father.
Amen.
And I thought about how I struggled and the problems I had and what I went through because I didn't know better. I said, Lord, whatever you say do, I'm going to do it. Whether I love it, whether I hate it, whether I don't know, whether I'm uncertain, I'm going to do what you say. And then he started giving me things to do. And some of them I know I wouldn't have done. But I thought about the vow. I said, I got to do this. And it was always better when I obeyed him. I almost learned to follow God by accident. It wasn't an accident on his part, but I kind of stumbled into it from my end. And I learned some beautiful things from it. So, and I know for a fact that if people just yield to him, everything is going to change over time. When you're focused on right now, you just want this problem solved. But when you focus on him, problems are always being solved, especially the ones you're focusing on. I mean, they'll be solved from the foundation up. He always operates in seed form, dealing with the foundation first. When the foundation's right, everything he'll build on top. If he can't build a foundation, he can't build on top. So you kind of stay where you are. And you have even more problems and troubles unnecessarily. But when you follow him, problems will be solved throughout over time. And people will be saved. And he can get to where, and he has our lifetime to use us. So the faster we obey him and yield to him, the more fruit we'll bear. And the more joy we'll have. And I don't want people to miss out on that. So I want to teach other stuff, but he keep going back to that. So as long as he do, I'll do it. But there are things that he wants to get us to so he can use us mightily. Let's see, we stopped at verse 21, I think. Mark. Okay. We're out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach those who seek him.
Amen.
I say that on the radio sometimes. Dear Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for how you guide us. Help us to do all that's in your heart.
Yes.
Take us to where you know we can go.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Good to see you.